Welcome to The Right You, where we teach you a little Texas law and provide hints for navigating the Texas legal system in the process, all sponsored by The Right Firm. So get ready to start your legal education.
You're listening to previously recorded episode number 5 of The Right You with attorney Mari Flores speaking to you about immigration.
This is Mari Flores with The Right Firm, and you are listening to The Right You. I'm here today to talk immigration. What's the hottest topic right now? That's right, immigration reform. On June 30th, speaking to 24 American service members as they became citizens of our nation in April, the president appeared to be passionate about the need to pass comprehensive immigration reform. Over the years, many have attempted to confront this challenge, but passions are great and disagreements run deep. Yet surely we can all agree that when approximately 11 million people in our country are living here illegally, outside the system, that's just unacceptable. The American people deserve a solution, and they deserve a common-sense, comprehensive immigration reform grounded in principles of responsibility and accountability. Proponents of immigration reform acknowledge that we need to meet clear and concrete benchmarks before we can finally ensure that America's borders are secure and effectively deal with the millions of illegal immigrants already in the U.S. But so far, years and years have gone by and nothing has been done. But just what does an individual have to go through in order to get legal status in the U.S.? The most common way is through a family member. Most of us are not entirely familiar with the family-based immigration system. An individual can petition for their family members to become U.S. permanent residents, in other words, petition for them to get a green card. However, there are different types of preference categories for different types of family members. Let's start with the immediate relatives. What is an immediate relative, you ask? Well, immediate relatives are spouses of U.S. citizens, children under the age of 21 of U.S. citizens, and parents of U.S. citizens who are over the age of 21. There is no limit to the number of individuals who can immigrate to the U.S. under the immediate relative category. This means that such a person can immigrate as soon as USCIS approves their case. For a person living outside the U.S. who fits within this category, there are three distinct steps. The first step is filing the appropriate petition with the Immigration Service. Once the petition is approved, the Department of State will send the petitioner, i.e. the U.S. citizen, a set of forms to fill out and return to the Department of State. After the forms are returned to the Department of State, an interview is scheduled for the immigrant family member at the appropriate American consulate in their country. For people in the U.S., the process is usually shorter and called adjustment of status. For family-based immigrants who are not immediate relatives, there is a family preference system that limits the number of immigrant visas to different foreign nationals. Backlogs and quotas are very common in these situations. There are four different types of preference categories. The first preference is sons and daughters over 21 years old of U.S. citizens. The second preference category is unmarried sons and daughters and spouses of permanent residents. These are divided into two categories. The first category is the 2A category. These are sons and daughters under 21 years old and spouses of permanent residents. The 2B category is sons and daughters over the age of 21 of permanent residents. The third preference category is married sons and daughters of U.S. citizens. And last, the fourth preference. These are brothers and sisters of U.S. citizens. The United States Department of State publishes a monthly visa bulletin. The visa bulletin lists the availability of immigrant visas during the month of publication and is intended as a guide for all individuals who would like to know if visas are immediately available for a particular category. If a category is current, indicated by the letter C in the visa bulletin, then visas are immediately available for issuance. When visas are not available for a particular category, only individuals with a priority date earlier than the one listed on the visa bulletin may be issued visas. And of course, this can be a really long time. Individuals whose priority date is after the one listed on the visa bulletin must wait until their priority date is included in the visa bulletin. Priority dates do not necessarily advance from month to month, and oftentimes the current priority date may actually go backwards from one month to the next. The State Department keeps track on whether there are visas available within the category and per country limits. Because there is a quota on the number of immigrant visas that may be issued per year, the inevitable result is a backlog. Let's talk adjustment of status. Once an immigrant visa has been approved, the individual may apply for adjustment of status. Adjustment of status is submitted to USCIS via Form I-485. USCIS conducts a series of background checks and makes a decision on the application. If the application is approved, the individual becomes a legal permanent resident. One issue that comes up a lot is the immigration waiver. The immigration waiver, or hardship waiver, is a concept that each and every intending immigrant should understand prior to undertaking the immigration process, whether they have hired an immigration lawyer or not. Receiving approval of an immigrant visa petition is the first step in the process of immigrating to the U.S. and obtaining a green card. However, not all applicants are approved, and ultimately, they might not get a green card. There are two common types of immigration waivers available to those applicants who are deemed inadmissible to the U.S., the 601 waiver and the 212 waiver. Each hardship waiver covers different grounds of inadmissibility. The 601 waiver is most commonly submitted to overcome an inadmissibility bar for a prior visa overstay or being in the U.S. Unlawfully, misrepresenting a fact to the Immigration Service, if you've committed a fraud, or if you've committed certain crimes. A 212 waiver is used to overcome inadmissibility bars for prior deportations. Hardship waivers require the applicant to prove extreme hardship by submitting written evidence. Extreme hardship is not easy to prove. An immigration lawyer can assist in this process by identifying the applicant's best argument, planning and directing the collection of written evidence, drafting a professional brief, and preparing the final package to be submitted to the immigration officer. This route will be an individual's best chance of getting a green card. But what about all those individuals who have or who don't have qualifying relatives to petition for them? Those are the 11 million out there who have no solution to fix their immigration status. What do we do with those individuals? To date, no one has the answer, but one thing that we cannot deny is something has to be done, and soon. The government has the responsibility to enforce the law. The only way to truly fix our broken immigration system is with comprehensive federal approach. This is Mai, signing off. Until next time, my friends.
Thanks for listening to us on The Right You. If you'd like to reach us, you may call us at 972-353-4600 or check us out on the web, therightlawyers.com.